For the last several months on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll has conducted an in-depth study in the last book of the Bible. His verse-by-verse study in Revelation is called Unveiling the End. Well, today on Insight for Living, we'll open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, as we're given a glimpse of the Great White Throne Judgment. First, a quick word of clarification. During the worship service in which Chuck presented today's message, he had the privilege of officiating the ordination of a young pastor. And we begin now with this fitting prayer.
Our Father, it's sobering to look into the face of a young man who is committing himself to a life of ministry. Doesn't make him special, doesn't make him in any way superhuman, but it is a reminder of a high calling and therefore a series of demands in which he will continue to release his will for yours. And this is good for us to witness. It is a good reminder for us in ministry. It also is helpful for all of us, regardless of our calling in life, to realize you have a way in our work. You are pleased to use us in whatever may be the calling. And we pray that you will use these who have gathered in this place in special ways to carry out the work you've called them to do. We pray as well that you will be pleased in the examples that are set before the world at large. As we live out our lives, we will need your strength and we will need your infilling, your enablement to make that happen. Now we commit to you, our Father, this serious section of your word. May truth be declared without hesitation, and equally important, may truth be heard and acted upon where appropriate. We thank you in the midst of all of it, our Father, for your great grace, marvelous grace, that meets us in our need, provides what we don't deserve, and keeps us in your eyes favored and encouraged. Thank you for the opportunity to give. We do so now, again, because of your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To complement this study, our team has developed some spiral-bound workbooks for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. To dig deeper into the study on Revelation, you can purchase these printed workbooks by going to insight.org/workbooks. And now, the message from Chuck titled, The Final Exit Interview.
When we come to Revelation 20, 11 to 15, we come to the final scene before heaven. The beast and false prophet have been thrown into the lake of fire. Satan has been cast there as well at the end of the millennium. So the lake of fire is occupied by beast, false prophet, and Satan, and no one else yet. Not yet. Now it will be filled with people who have lived their lives and chosen to resist the message of the gospel through their death. And this is their future. John says, then, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. John says, and, verse 12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. The small and the great together are brought before God. John 5:29 calls this the resurrection of judgment. Understand at death what occurs. Listen closely. We are made up of that which is seen and unseen. We'll call the seen the body. The unseen, we'll call it the soul. There are other terms used, but let's keep those simple terms, the body and the soul. When death occurs, get this clear, there's a separation between the seen and the unseen. With the separation, there is a destiny that they move toward. And each of the destinies involves a resurrection. Stay with the first category of the Christian. That would be people who live as we're living during this time. At death, the soul of the Christian goes into the presence of the Lord. At death, the body of the Christian goes into the grave, or is cremated, or dies a terrible death in an explosion and is blown apart, or goes and dies a death at sea. Whatever, we call it the grave. The body separates from the soul, and your loved one who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, his soul went immediately to be with the Lord Jesus. Absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. In the future, the Lord will return in the sky for his own. I'm calling this the rapture, and the body and soul will be joined together in a glorified state as the body's resurrected, as the parts are put back together, if you will, as the cremated body is brought back to life. The dead body is now given a glorified state, and the soul of that individual is joined at the rapture, and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some call it the Bema, B-E-M-A, which is the Greek word for judgment seat. We stand before the Lord to receive our rewards. The judgment is not to see if we get into heaven. That was determined during our life. Getting into heaven is never decided after death. It's always decided before death. And so, having come to Christ, when we stand before the Lord Jesus, it's to determine the rewards that we receive. And the Bible speaks of five different kinds of crowns that can be given to God's people. And we place the crowns before him in worship, and we enter into our eternal home in heaven. Now, you could trace that subject all the way through the Old Testament believer. When the Old Testament believer dies, the soul goes to a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Remember, the Lord said to the thief who believed, "This day your soul will be with me," where? In paradise. It is a place for the departed spirits or souls of the saved, not of this era. And they are reserved there until the second coming of Christ, when he returns before the millennial reign and raises up Old Testament believers who will be a part of the judgment on the earth and then heaven. The tribulation believer is explained the same way, the millennial believer is the same way, as best we can determine. Now notice the last category, all unbelievers. What happens at death? When an unbeliever dies, the soul is placed in a temporary place called Hades, or Sheol. Hades is a Greek word, Sheol is a Hebrew word. It's a place of torment that's temporary, and it's held there until the time we're looking at right here in Revelation. The body goes to the grave, and whatever kind of grave it may have gone to. And then finally, when the body and the soul of the unbeliever are joined together, there is the appearance before the great white throne judgment. Now back to the passage, Revelation 20, verse 12. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, meaning the bodies, the material part of us, that which has been taken from this earth, that which has gone into the sea, that, you know, there's been death. And death and Hades, all of the souls that have been held there, give up the dead which were in them. And please, back to verse 12 now, notice the judgment. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The judged and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, plural, according to their deeds. Verse 13 affirms at the end that they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. The books, listen carefully, plural, means scrolls, literally. The scrolls refers to the record of every thought and word and deed of every unsaved person who lived and died without Christ. God keeps a perfect and complete record of every life. When this judgment occurs, there is a review of those things. Not even the most righteous individual who has ever lived as a lost person earns the favor of God, because his righteousness is a perfect righteousness. And the only way one can fellowship with an eternal God in heaven is to be as perfect as he is. You say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not perfect. You've already forgotten. In Christ, you are as perfect as his Son. When you trust Christ, that righteousness of his is credited to your account. And that is the righteousness God sees when you stand before him and you appear clothed in the righteousness of Christ. These without Christ, no matter how good the deeds, no matter how great the works, no matter how fine the words, no matter how pure the motive, no one is able to measure up to the perfect holiness and righteousness of God. And so, having been judged according to deeds, everyone falls up short, comes up short. Now, what about the book of life? I understand the book of life to be the listing of all of God's elect. Appearing in the book of life is the name of every individual who has died with Christ Jesus as Savior of their lives. Your name is there, my name is there. Because of the grace of God in our coming to Christ, the name is in the book of life. You see, the sort of a second check is, not only do their deeds show them as undeserving, but the absence of their names from the book of life affirms that they are lost. Warren Wiersbe writes serious words, "The great white throne judgment will be nothing like our modern court cases. At the white throne, there will be a judge, but no jury. A prosecution, but no defense. A sentence, but no appeal. No one will be able to defend himself or accuse God of unrighteousness." All those being judged at the great white throne judgment will hear the sentence of their lostness. You say, well, I mean, is that really fair? Is that really, you know, what about those that were ignorant of God's standard? Romans 1:20 makes it clear that creation speaks of God, of his standard, of his matchless power. And even the human conscience as well condemns us, Romans 2:14 and 15 tell us. So we all, those will stand before the living God, unworthy of eternal life with him. Pause for a moment and let it sink in. You will never hear this at a liberal church. You will never hear this from someone who wants you to like them, so they just can't bear to tell you the truth. You will hear this as it is written in the Word of God, and because it is true. There is no other escape. This is final. To affirm it, verse 14 adds, "Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." So this is the end of death. Remember, it entered when Adam sinned. Now it exits. In fact, this is called the second death. Isn't that interesting, folks? We refer to being born and then born again for the saved. For the lost, there is a death and a second death. A death again. A finality. A removal from this earth into this eternity. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. One older writer puts it, the two voracious and insatiable monsters who have swallowed all past generations, Hades and death, are forced to disgorge their prey. I don't know of a clearer verse to evaporate all theories of universalism than verse 15. Now, let me add a word, because I need to be true to my conscience here. I believe there will be degrees of punishment. I do not believe that all will be punished in the same manner, though I believe all the lost will spend eternity in the lake of fire. On the basis of Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and verse 48, I believe there will be a measuring out of the punishment. He tells of the slave who knew the master's will, Luke 12, 47, and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. Here's the one who knows and rejects, continues to hear and rejects, continues to be witness to and rejects, continues to hear and rejects. That'll be the maximum. But there are those who did not know and committed deeds worthy of a flogging who receive but few. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I believe there will be degrees of punishment, and yet all will face an everlasting condemnation. Now, my message is today very simple. It's time to stop running, and it's time to quit hiding. For any of you who continue to do that, and I speak of that spiritually, I have two words in my application. In answer to the question, how, I have one word, Christ. And in answer to the question, when, I have one word, now. How's that for an application of a message, huh? Christ, now. Christ, now. Now. There's an old legend where Satan and his demons met for a time to plan the strategy over earth in order to persuade people against walking with God and serving Christ. One demon spoke up and said that he would go to earth and persuade people that there is no heaven. Satan frowned and responded, "That'll never work. There are too many people who believe it, and the Bible is full of too much evidence about it." Another imp stood and said, "I've got a better idea. I'll convince them there is no hell, no lake of fire." Satan's response again was negative. "Too many are convinced otherwise, plus the human conscience stands against that as a witness against your message." After the passing of a little time, a dark spirit glided forward and grinned a sinister grin, saying he would go and his message would be both acceptable and effective. Satan, curious, asked, "And what will be your message?" "I'll tell them there's no hurry." That was the method chosen, and it is still effective. Many a person who dies without Christ did not expect to die when it happened. Many an individual thought they had a full life ahead of them, whatever full life means. You don't know what your life will be like. James tells us it will appear for a little while and then vanish away. Cynthia and I have a very, very dear friend who we've known for years. She and her husband, marvelous Christian people, really not that old, just early retired and enjoying life to the full, good health, happiness, just built a home, just got resettled, just at the top of their game, if you will. He goes to the church to rearrange a few chairs and he dies on the spot. No warning, no previous signal, no advance prompting. Suddenly, he's gone. Thank the Lord, he was ready to meet his Heavenly Father. I'd like us to bow our heads. This is a very serious moment, and I'd like you not to move around, please. Let's just sit before the Lord and allow him to speak. Next time we're together, we'll turn to the subject of heaven, and we look forward to that with great delight, but we'll not go there till we've finished here. Are you absolutely sure? I don't care what age you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you've ever been to church before or you were raised in a church. Are you absolutely sure that you know Jesus? Are you absolutely certain there's been a time in your life when you've trusted in Christ alone, by faith alone? Force yourself to ask, can I go back to a time when I've received Christ, taken him as my Savior? If that answer is no, Christ now. Believe in him. Trust him. Now. But as many as received Christ, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. This is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. There's no in between. You're not somewhere along the way. It's inappropriate to try to work real hard to somehow impress God. We've already seen the small and great weren't able to do that. Nothing in my hands I bring, says the old song, simply to the cross I cling. We have a prayer room that's here in the front of this building on your right where our people meet with you who need a little time, talk this through. Maybe you're the type that just has a few questions. I commend you. That's good. Come and ask them. Maybe you don't need anybody to talk to. Just convinced now in your heart, this is what you need. Not only is this the greatest thing to do for yourself, this is the greatest thing to do for your family. You will be transformed. Your whole insides will be rearranged. Your whole focus for living. Best of all, your eternal home will be secured. Christ, now. Lord, may those two words ring in our minds as we turn away from what we have heard and enter back into the things of this life. May they haunt each person, each individual who's never come to your Son. May it be for them a throbbing, constant, restless message till they turn to your Son, Jesus. We who know him are grateful and have no pride in knowing. We have great joy, but there's no arrogance. There's nothing we've done to earn the gift. But today we speak, we pray with passion that you will let not one individual who has heard this message turn away from it without Christ. Now, Lord, dismiss us in the seriousness of the moment with the reminder that you speak truth and you haven't stuttered. It's landed with full force, and we now must reckon with it. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the only righteous one, our Lord. And everybody said, amen.
If you're feeling uncertain or have questions about this, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Here at Insight for Living, we are here to support you and to help you understand God's incredible gift of eternal life through Jesus. Chuck Swindoll has created some practical steps just for this purpose. Just go to insight.org/how-to-know-God. Chuck titled today's message, The Final Exit Interview. And on tomorrow's program, we'll turn our attention away from judgment and toward our heavenly inheritance. Be sure to listen when Chuck presents a study about the new heaven and the new earth. You know, these Bible prophecy terms are unfamiliar to a lot of people, and for others, we tend to confuse one with the other. Things like the rapture, the tribulation, the great white throne judgment. It's hard to remember the exact meaning, let alone their sequence. Along those lines, we invite you to take advantage of the spiral-bound Bible studies that we've created for this Revelation series. I'm referring to the Searching the Scriptures studies, in which we provide interactive study notes for every one of Chuck's sermons. There are three workbooks in the study called Unveiling the End, and you can purchase them right now by calling 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/workbooks. And then when you're prompted to give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living, we'd like to say thank you by sending a wonderful summertime booklet from Chuck. It's called Leisure, God's Model for Recharging. In today's world, working overtime has become a virtue and relaxing a weakness. But Chuck's booklet on leisure reminds us that God gave us a better option. A copy is yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just request the book on leisure in a letter addressed to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or call us at 800-772-8888. Or simply go online to insight.org/donate. Ever wonder what heaven will be like? I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll describes the glories of heaven, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Final Exit Interview, was copyrighted in 2004, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.